Good morning again. This is Larry Phillips, and glad to be back with you, and glad you joined us for this Bible study. We're going to be looking at an unusual passage in the Bible that often is overlooked, and it is the Song of Solomon. Solomon did not have tremendous spirituality in his kingdom. He had many, many wives and many, many concubines, and he tended to serve other gods, but Solomon was raised under, had a great father, David, whose, David had a heart after God, and I'm sure that David's influence on Solomon was great. One of the things that we see in the Song of Solomon is it's like an allegory. Solomon's talking of his love. But this has to do with the church's love unto Christ and Christ's love for the church. And it's really interesting. We see in the fourth verse of chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon, "Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember of thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." This is definitely the proper order of things. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Christ said that no man can come to the Father unless he be drawn. And then the next verse says, "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." It's an announcement that we are all as filthy rags before Christ, and we need to have a Savior. Mary herself, who by the Catholic Church was immaculate and without sin, which we know is not true. She was a virgin, but all men are born and conceived in sin. And Mary said, "I rejoice in God my Savior." Verse 6 says, "Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." Here's here is a disclosure by the church that we have not lived perfectly before God. Many times we have disobeyed his law and his word. Verse 7, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companion?" A true elect child of God is going to want to seek out and find other sheep to have fellowship with. And because we want to be amongst the flock of God. Next verse says, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent." The 12th verse says, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth thereof." Christ and association with Christ is the greatest comfort in this life and for eternity. The second chapter of the Song of Solomon, Christ describes himself here, or as a like type of Christ. First verse, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Christ is the lily of the valley, and we see that in the song, the lily of the valley and the bright morning star. Verse 7 says, I charge ye, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hands of the field, that ye stir not up, not awake my love, until he please. Until God works in the heart of a man, that man will remain in spiritual darkness and spiritual death. But when Christ calls, when Christ says, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus comes forth. In the 10th verse it says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. When our beloved speaks, we do rise up and come. The 11th verse says, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. There was a time in all of the elect childs of God's life when we were spoken to by our beloved, and he said, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. Verse 12, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Do you recall when maybe you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it seemed like God's creation was much more striking in the morning times during the springtime? We looked upon his creation in a much different way, didn't we? For he is the creator of the universe. But now, the elect child, when they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they have a one-on-one relationship with their creator. Verse 14, O my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. There was a time when we all were running from God, and we did not want to have anything to do with his word. And now his word is sweet to us. It's a comfort to us. Verse 15 says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Verse 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. He's the one that feeds his flock. He's the one that gives us our daily spiritual nourishment. Verse 17, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Chapter 3, first verse, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways, and I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go, until I had brought him into my mother's house, and in the chamber of her that conceived me. There's a passage that says, I am found of him that sought me not. You know, Christ is the one that does the seeking. And we find here that child of God is going to want to come to Christ. We're going to have a desire. We're going to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to seek His face. Christ is the one that shows His love to the church. And in the chapter 4, the first verse says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." Verse 16, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Chapter 5 says, "I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" Verse 6, "I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." And then chapter 6 says, "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies." Reminds me of that song, "I come to the garden alone, and the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses." The seventh chapter says, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." Isn't that comforting to know that? That we did not seek the Lord until he sought us. Christ's desire is towards all of his people. We had nothing in ourselves to seek God. He had nothing that we should desire him. But he placed in our spirit, in our heart, he regenerated our soul. He caused us to be born again and to want to seek his law. The eighth chapter, the third verse says, "His left hand should be under my head and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please." Think about that. "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please." Verse 6. "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame." When Christ works a work in our hearts, he seals us. He seals us. And he gives us such a strong love that nothing can separate us from that love. For he's done a work in us. The seventh verse says, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it." And then it says in verse 13, "Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it." This is a beautiful, beautiful rendition of Christ's love for his bride and how that he has shown us his tremendous love and how that that love is not a fickle kind of love. That love is not something that will ever depart from us. It is a love that's an eternal love, an everlasting love. It's a love that came before the foundation of the world, before the world was created. God set his love upon us. And it's a love that will be with us throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. It's a love that knows no end. It's a love that is the purest love in the world. It's a love that God Himself has shown us. Sometimes that love displays itself in a different way with us. Sometimes it's a love of chastisement. Sometimes it's a love of judgment. Sometimes it's a love of a discipline. Other times it's a love of compassion and long suffering, and it's a love that only God can give. In the fourth chapter of John, when Jesus was speaking to the lady at Samaria, in the 10th verse, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water." Living water. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Here was a very thirsty woman spiritually. We know of her life and her immoral past, and she was starving for spiritual nourishment. She was thirsty. She was dry. And Jesus first shows her her sin by telling her to call her husband, and then exposing that she had five husbands, and the one that she was now with was not her husband. And so he showed her her utter depravity. He showed her the law of God. And, you know, the woman then saith unto him in the verse 25, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, which is come. He will tell us all these things." And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." Think about that. This lady of Samaria was speaking to the creator of the universe. She was speaking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And immediately she left her water pot and went away in the city. And 29, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" That's what happens when God imparts spiritual life to us. We want to broadcast that love out to as many people as we can, and let them know that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the one who died for sinners. Jesus Christ is the one who came and gave himself a ransom for many. And so we see that the love of God is manifested in so many different ways. Sometimes, like I said, the love of Christ is manifested through us in the same ways that Christ manifests his love to us. It's a very deep love. It's a love that knows no boundaries. And we see that in the Titus, the second chapter, it says that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. So he gave himself for a people for his own possession. A people that he would redeem from all iniquity not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so we can see that we have a great consolation in knowing that Christ is the one who displayed his love to us. And it says in the third chapter of 1 John, Beloved, or behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And so we see that Christ's love was manifested to his children. It was bestowed upon us. It was bestowed upon us. It wasn't anything that we did. And it was just bestowed upon us. And so this love is manifested in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, where he says, 17, And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and him that heareth say, Come, and him that is athirst, come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And so we find that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with all the saints. Is with all the saints. It's a love that, there's a song that says, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul on thee. Now, you know, the 23rd Psalm is a beautiful psalm. And I'm just going to read that in conclusion today and make a couple comments about that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, the Lord is the shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. You know, this is not a decision. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Notice how everything is attributed to what God has done in this work, not anything that I have done. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I hope that has been a blessing to you, as it has been to my soul this morning, to see the great love that God has bestowed upon us. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, who leads us beside the still waters, who who makes us to lie down in green pastures, who restores our soul, who leads us in the paths of righteousness. And anoints our head with oil and causes our cup to run over. And the fact that He is going to follow us all the days of our life and give us a dwelling place in His house forever. He says, if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise to look forward to, coming into the presence of our great Lily of the Valley, our bright and morning star. Father, we thank you for the comfort of your word in times of great trial and sufferings, in times of persecution that we seem as we may go through, in times where we don't understand those around us that we love dearly, our friends, our loved ones. You can be the greatest comfort. You can be the greatest, the closest love to our hearts. And you can solidify and commune with us in ways that are beyond the realm of explanation. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who comforts us. We pray that you would just continue to go with us and draw us closer to you each day. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.